This week we're going to talk about Disney's Animal Kingdom, the newest park at Walt Disney World.
The newest park, as in, it was opened in what, 1998?
Yep, I think so.
So it's been a little while, but yeah, the newest one there. So
still a bit newer than say Epcot.
hey, I am as old as Epcot, so I really don't need that comparison. Thank you.
Sorry. So we're going to talk about, you know, all the different lands and stuff in the Animal Kingdom. We're going to start with Discovery Island.
Discovery Island, so the center of the park where the big tree that never turns brown is.
Tree of life.
So is that why it never turns brown?
Yeah, because it's always alive.
Hmm. Or it's always been made of whatever fabric that is. Yeah. But
cotton.
You know what? That tree is so cool, though. I've spent probably a good 30 minutes at a time just like with my camera just taking pictures of different sections with all the different animals that are carved into that tree.
Yeah, it's an attraction in and of itself.
Yeah, and it's just such a cool... It was a good design for the, what did Walt call it, the weenie?
What?
The weenie.
What?
Really? Okay, so Walt defined the castle as the weenie of Magic Kingdom, or well, of Disneyland Park, and would to be of Magic Kingdom as well. Spaceship Earth would be that in Epcot. The Chinese Theater before Disney had that, there was some kind of a rights thing with Hollywood Studios where that's why they actually put up the big hat,
right?
Apparently.
Yeah. So they could own the landmark in,
right, because
Hollywood
they
Studios.
Couldn't be using that as their landmark or whatever. So now that you've got the hat and then you've got the Tree of Life. So the weenie, it's a good design.
Okay. Weenie. Yep. Okay, the Tree of Life is the weenie, and it is beautiful. It's huge. You can see it from anywhere in the park. And in Discovery Island, really, that's the thing to see.
But you can go under it on Discovery Island.
Right, isn't that where the...
It's tough to be a bug.
Yeah, right. So, well, no, it's tough to be a bug is on the outside of the tree. It's over there by...
Well, yes, but the way it's designed to give you the feeling as to kind of like you're going under and into the...
I see.
You're not legitimately going in there, but...
Sorry, I'm thinking too literal.
But yes, yeah, so the design of It's Tough to Be a Bug is that it kind of feels like you're actually walking into the Tree of Life, under the Tree of Life. At least that was my experience when I walked in there.
Agreed. That is the conceit of It's Tough to Be a Bug.
And did you do It's Tough to Be a Bug when you went?
I didn't, no. But we did go buy it, and so I can, you know, we looked at it and we were like, mm-hmm. Nah.
Yeah, I thought it was something that was fun to do, but I would put it in my list of it was fun to do once things, you know, because it's because it's not an attraction that's going to change in any way, shape or form. And I don't know, 4D attractions just don't really do it for me. They're fun to see the first time, but then after that, you know, everything that's going to happen, you know, when it's going to happen. And while that's true of a dark ride or any attraction, really, I don't know, for some reason it tends to stand out more a bit for those sorts of attractions.
Right. Though, well, because it's like a movie. It's just like watching a movie.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie, you know, with the little extra, that fourth dimension stuff with stuff moving and water and all those different effects.
Right.
But yeah, at the end of the day, it's still just a movie. And I guess, you know, it probably part of it is just that It's Tough to Be a Bug is not, you know, doesn't top my list of favorite Disney films in any way, shape or form. It's not that it's a bad film by any stretch. It's just not as memorable to me because I'm thinking, you know, I will go back and watch PhilharMagic over in Magic Kingdom.
Right.
But that's because it touches on that nostalgia vein And I think that's why I'm willing to go and watch it again, whereas It's Tough to Be a Bug doesn't do that. But all of that being said, I don't think that that attraction tends to have too long of lines. And I definitely think it's something you should do at least once.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes though, if you, right now. So,
yeah, if you have small children, you may want to skip that attraction because it is large bugs. There are some pretty scary sections of it. And, you know, your kids are probably scared enough of bugs as it is. Or if they're not, they may leave with a newfound respect for bugs, you know. So anyway, I'm just going to throw that in there because I've seen some adults get pretty freaked out by a couple of the, especially the 4D stuff that goes on during the attraction.
I remember in Honey, I Shrunk the Audience in Epcot when the mice run down the bottom of the screen. Yes. It blows air at your feet. I almost screamed like a little girl.
If that almost made you scream like a little girl, I'm willing to bet that this one probably would make you scream like a little girl.
Is it a heebie-jeebies kind of? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's got some heebie-jeebie stuff, which, you know, you're doing bugs, so you can go with that.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's It's Tough to Be a Bug. And then you've also got the trails around Discovery Island, which those are pretty cool, too. And that's what this park has just made. There's so much, what, it's like 500 acres?
Yeah. Oh, man. The theming and the size allows it to feel like you're really there and that you're really in this other world, this other place. And then the theming of it is so good. And you know, there's four different sections and just they're themed so well that, like, you can get lost in there and just totally forget you're in Florida.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing is these, you know, they've got these trails. They've got the little, what do they call it, the oasis as you enter. And there are a couple of animals in that area. And then you've got animals that you're going to see along the Discovery Trails. And, you know, for all of Disney's, you know, I don't think they're still running that advertising campaign. But for a while they were running that Not a Zoo advertising campaign.
Yeah.
It is a lot like a zoo, but it's a very, very cool zoo. And it's a theme park in addition to a zoo. So it doesn't have quite the breadth that just a straight up zoo would have, but it's also got attractions. So I don't know, to me that more than makes up for it. But yeah, so, you know, you can walk along these trails, kind of get lost, as you said, really not feel like you're in, Orlando anymore, partially cause it's going to be so much more hot in this park.
Yeah.
That is one downside is I do suggest bringing lots of water whenever you hit this park, but yeah, so you can get lost along those different little trails and everything and just kind of meander, which is nice sometimes, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a very, very much in comparison to all three other parks, very chill. It's very much a park where you can just go and walk slow and take in the sights and not be bothered ever, you know, and it's very nice.
Right.
So that's all the attraction type stuff on Discovery Island. For eating, which I've heard from numerous people that you shouldn't eat in the Animal Kingdom. That there's really no place that is worth eating. I disagree with that. Do you disagree with that?
Not really. It's just that I cannot think of any place in the Animal Kingdom. Okay, so if you say we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom, I'm going to say, dude, I'm going to go to Harbor House. You know, I can immediately, or I'm going to go to Pecos, or I'm going to go to Cosmic Rays. You know, if I want to do sit down, you know, I can think of places. Epcot's no brainer. Hollywood Studios. You know, you've got Primetime. You've got Toluca Turkey Legs. But when you say Animal Kingdom, I'm like, yeah, they've got some restaurants. They've got some eating places there, but
I would say that one place that's definitely worth going is in Discovery Island, and it's Flame Tree Barbecue.
Oh wow! So we're gonna totally disagree on that. Okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm cool with that. Okay. I'm cool with that. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I went to Flame Tree because that was the place. And actually I thought you were going to bring up like Pizza Fari, which, you know, it's pizza. It's decent.
I've eaten a Pizza Fari too. Pizza Fari is all right.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with it, but there's just nothing that makes me go, oh my goodness, dude, I am so hitting Animal Kingdom so I can go get me some Pizza Fari.
Right.
On the other hand, Flame Tree Barbecue, man, I don't know. Now, we're, you know, we both live in Texas, so I feel like we know barbecue pretty well, and maybe I hit them on an off day. I'm trying to make excuses for them here because what I had did not remind me of barbecue. I mean, it was, I tried their, I want to say it was their ribs or something, and they were real fatty and they were kind of cold and the sauce wasn't that, I mean, just nothing about it really did it for me. But again, that's a very subjective decision, so that you really enjoy Flame Tree Barbecue, I am totally cool with.
See, and I feel like ribs is something that I am hesitant to get anywhere.
Okay.
And I wouldn't touch ribs at a theme park. Even a Texas theme park, because I'm like, ribs are hard to get right, man.
Well, and and that's the thing is, I totally agree with that. But everybody told me this place does really, really good barbecue, and that's how I judge. Do you do really, really good barbecue?
Okay.
And that told me they did not, for that aspect, did not do really, really good barbecue.
Right.
So I should go and not try the ribs. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, try the brisket. Brisket's real good.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm willing to go back and give them another shot. Probably not with ribs, but
yeah. Fair enough. And then there's Pizza Fari, which is personal pizzas. It's quick service. You get personal pizza. They have the standard Walt Disney World quick service desserts. It's pretty nondescript, but the pizza's good.
Yeah, and I want to say they've got like some sandwiches and stuff as well. I don't think I've ever pointed this out on the podcast, but my wife actually has has food allergies, and one of her food allergies is, you know, she's got egg, peanuts, and corn, and corn is in everything. So eating, like, pretty much we don't go out to eat anywhere, but when we go to the parks, she can always eat at places because Disney is like so good about, okay, yeah, you have a food allergy, no big deal, what can we make for you? You know, we'll work around it. And so the reason why I say I know they have some sandwiches there is because they were able to modify one of their sandwiches to where she could actually have something to eat there. So, yeah, they do have some sandwiches there. And quick little side, you know, props to Disney for handling food allergies really, really well.
Yeah. And they do. They have an Italian sandwich. They've got a Caesar salad with chicken and a chicken, vegetable, and pasta salad as entree items, aside from
a couple of different options.
Aside from, they have three different pizzas. One of them is a veggie pizza too. So
basically, you can get pizza
if you want to eat air quote healthy. You can get a cheesy, greasy pizza with vegetables on it.
Well, hey, that makes everything okay, doesn't
it? That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, the popcorn stand and. There's a market there in Discovery Island. Maybe not.
I don't know. I'm not going to say there's not, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it was the Gardens kiosk. There's a little kiosk. It's kind of like the ones on, I believe, Sunset Avenue
Okay, so like where Toluca Turkey Legs and all that kind of stuff is.
Yeah. Kind of like
okay.
So it's like a little stand where you can go up and get some stiff. And they do some meet and greets in Discovery Island. Russell and Doug from Up, Pocahontas, the guys from Winnie the Pooh, and then there's the Viva Gaia Street Band, which is, you know, they just kind of hang out and play some music and stuff.
I don't think I've ever seen that particular street band. Knowing Disney's quality of entertainment in the other parks, I would think that they're probably good, but you know, I can't speak to them because I haven't seen them.
They're pretty good. When we were there, we walked by them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really stand around and listen, you know, like we would if we caught the What's the doo-wop group in the Magic Kingdom?
Oh, I don't know. I'm totally blanking. Oh, but dang anyway.
The Dapper Dance in Magic
Kingdom. Oh, there you go.
I would stand there and watch them sing all day. But we didn't just stand around, but we passed them, and they were good. I mean, they play nice music for sure.
Okay.
But so that's Discovery Island. That's kind of, if you can kind of think of Animal Kingdom as kind of a half hub, where you've got the center, and then there's just like four little spokes instead of, and it's only like half a wheel. I don't know. I'm terrible at explaining things. But if you head north, or, you know, up on the map, you get to Africa, which is another incredibly well-themed area.
So well-themed.
And it includes one of the greatest attractions at Walt Disney World, which is Kilimanjaro Safari.
I will totally agree with that. I mean, it's a very much a departure from what you would expect to see at a theme park. And again, it kind of fits more with the zoo thing, but yes, definitely not for the story.
Right.
Not for the story, but yes, one of the better attractions. Which I'm sorry, I know, you know, I try to avoid sounding like the old bitter man. The story is just, it's tacked on for the sake of saying that we've got a story on there.
I didn't even know there was a story.
Oh, you haven't listened to like the little radio transmissions where they're talking back and forth, and basically the reason you're driving into these different areas is because you're trying to find some poachers, and then you see the baby elephant at the end. You know, that little audio animatronic baby elephant?
Yeah, okay. I've always just been like eyes glued out the sides of the car trying to see a lion.
Well, okay, and that's exactly what I'm saying is, the attraction is awesome because it's got really, really cool animals. Mm-hmm. The story, clearly, based on what Jeremy has just told us, is a bit forgettable.
Yes. But, man, you get in this truck. It's a truck, but totally open, completely open. And you sit, and there's a guy driving down, you know, on a path, and there's, like, animals. There's, like, lions and zebras and giraffes and rhinoceri and...
Real animals, not Jungle Cruise.
Right,
animals.
This is not Jungle Cruise. These are real, living, breathing animals. But it's just amazing. It's so much fun. So much fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's so cool about it is you don't know what you're going to actually get to see each time you go. I mean, you're probably going to get to see the lions. You're probably going to see a giraffe. But, you know, I've been sometimes and the... some of the antelope may or may not be there. Some of the... You know, there are so many different animals that it really kind of depends on where they're located at as to whether or not you're going to see them.
Right. I literally saw a lion on a Lion King-style Pride Rock, and he was just laying there looking all majestic and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I think, I've heard multiple people say that the best time to hit that is early in the morning.
Yeah.
Both from a standpoint of you don't have to get a fast pass and you can get through it pretty quickly as long as you go hit it very first thing. Like, the park is opening, you are near the front of the gates, and you go straight back there. If you don't, it's going to be one of the longest waits first thing in the morning, because everybody wants to go see it first thing in the morning. But apparently they like feed the animals right around park opening, and so you're going to get a lot more animals coming up in that area getting their food. So, you know, if you want to hit that attraction, that's probably a good time to hit it.
Yeah, but that's definitely a must do. And it would be a good Fast Pass Plus, too, because the wait is usually 60 to 90 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if you can make the dash, do not run. Do not run, folks. But if you can make the dash to Africa and get there before the line gets long, then you can avoid having to use your Fast Pass there. Otherwise, yeah, you're probably going to need a Fast Pass because it's going to be long. And in spite of saying that the morning is the better time to go from what most people say, I don't think you're going to hit a bad time to go.
Yeah. Even if you don't see any animals, which you will see some animals, but even if you didn't, it's still beautiful. It's beautiful country. It's beautiful landscape. I mean, it's just beautiful.
And it's been so well themed.
Yes. Again, yeah. It's not Florida.
No, Yeah, you totally feel like you left Florida behind, and you were actually out in Africa or whatever.
Right. So definitely do that. They also have there the Pengani Forest Exploration Trail, which I did not do. But I
did not do it either. Every time I go to Animal Kingdom, I think I need to go do that, and then I don't.
Well, the park is full of really, really beautiful kind of trails and just kind of places to go and again just view, you know, the beautiful theming and, you know, the nice park. So I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's worth doing if you're a hiker or you love walking. I'm sure it'd be wonderful to do.
Yeah. So did you go out to Rafiki's Planet Watch?
I did not. You guys were there? No, I didn't. We didn't even ride the Wildlife Express train.
Wow. So far we can't really tell you guys anything about the Pagani Forest Exploration Trail, and we cannot tell you about the Wildlife Express train or anything in Rafiki's Planet Watch because neither Jeremy nor I have been there.
But,
and you know what? This is where I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say a huge part of that is because Animal Kingdom is not an all day park for me.
Right. Me neither. It's a half day for sure.
Yeah, so there are certain things that you got to hit, and then you're trying to hit the gates and get on to your next park so you can enjoy the second half of your day at another park.
Yep.
But if you were to do all these things, I think it could be a full-day park.
Yeah, I think especially if you're into leisurely walking and walking on trails and stuff. And
seeing all the animals and all that jazz.
Right, I think you could easily make it an all-day park, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it in Africa for attractions. I mean, I cannot stress enough how important it is that everyone do Kilimanjaro Safari.
There are only a few attractions, and I mean, there are a few attractions in Animal Kingdom, period, which is so weird given how huge it is. But yeah, that's definitely on the must hit. You must do this attractions.
Right. And so for dining in Animal Kingdom, the only place that I have dined at there is the Tama Tama Refreshments.
Okay.
I mean, we just got a little snack and a bottle of water. So we didn't actually eat at Tusker House or Kusafiri or Dawa.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard good things about Tusker House since they moved it because that used to be a quick service restaurant there. And then they moved it over to a buffet style, I think it is now. And I've heard good things about the buffet there, but, you know, again, half day park, I'm looking to move on. And, you know, so I don't really do that many sit down meals mm-hmm. at Animal Kingdom.
And it's got, you know, on the rating of expense, it has $3 signs. So
it's like any other buffet that you're going to eat at Walt Disney World.
Right.
Right.
Yep. Yep. And then have you eaten at any of the places, that coffee shop?
Nope.
Okay.
I've done just as much as you have, which is I probably have stopped there and picked up like, is that the area where they've got is, no, I don't think Tamu Tamu is. There's that one area that they have where they're like, they've got some pretzels and things, you know, like soft pretzels, things like that. But I think that's actually outside of Africa, right as you walk, exit it.
Yeah.
And you're walking onto the next land. They've got that little area. I've stopped and eaten there before, picked up some snacky stuff. But no, I've never actually eaten at any of the places there in Africa. So.
Well, all right.
So we'll leave those. And where are we moving on to now?
Well, there's in Africa, there's the Festival of the Lion King opening soon. They're building a brand new... I guess, what, stadium for it? I don't know what you would call it. Amphitheater? I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're building some sort of building to house this thing.
That used to be in Camp Minnie Mickey that will soon be Pandora.
Avatar Land, the world of Pandora, whatever they're going to choose to call that land. Okay, yeah, so I didn't know you were going to cheat and totally bring up an attraction that's not open right now.
Well, I just want to say that when it does open, the Festival of the Lion King is a really fun show. And there's a lot of acrobatics, and it's got fun music. And if you love Lion King, you're going to love Festival of the Lion King.
And even if you don't love Lion King, unless you hate Lion King, right. you're probably going to enjoy the show. I think anyway.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the acrobatics and everything, it's a really cool show that they put on, and I've been to see it multiple times, and it, you know, probably at this rate, by the next time I get to go to the parks, it'll be open again, and I will probably go back again. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely go see it. Go see it twice. No question. But that is pretty much it for Africa, and that takes us over to Asia. Where the best attraction in all of the Animal Kingdom is Expedition Everest.
Oh, I totally thought you were going to go with Dinoland USA and you know, pick like the Primeval Spin for your best, but okay.
No, Expedition Everest.
I'm kidding, folks. Expedition Everest is hands down the best attraction in Animal Kingdom and one of the top attractions in the entire Walt Disney World.
Yes.
You know, all the parks.
I would say, and oh my gosh, please don't be mad, but I would say it is second only to Rock and Roller Coaster for roller coasters.
As far as those that Disney has, I think that that's probably right.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want you to get PO'd because I wasn't given Space Mountain props.
No.
But I think Rock and Roller Coaster is more fun, but it's also inside. And Expedition Everest is pretty much all outside, and it's a wooden coaster, and you're going through a mountain, and it goes backwards for a while, and oh, it's just so much fun. Although I will say, I've only ridden it once, and it was the first roller coaster I ever went on, and so I did the entire ride, eyes clamped shut, grabbing as hard as I can onto the lap bar, going, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. But after I rode it, I was like, oh, it was so awesome. So it is the roller coaster that got me to get over my fear of roller coasters, but my eyes were maybe open for 5 or 10 seconds of the ride. But it was real fun with closed eyes.
So here's my question, and I don't expect you to know the answer, and I think this is something that I want to look into now. Because, you know, we are looking at these parks, and one of the things we have been discussing is this new FastPass Plus system where you're limited on the number of FastPasses you get per day. With the old FastPass system, you could get another FastPass after the time it expired, and you could technically get multiple FastPasses for the same attraction. Can you load up on multiple FastPasses for Expedition Everest? Because if so, I would be one to make the argument that you should just get 3 FastPasses for Expedition Everest and forget about it and make everything else work.
If that's possible under the new system, I would agree.
Yeah, so do that. Or, you know, barring that, a lot of times, so me, my sister, and my dad all love Expedition Everest. My mom doesn't really care for roller coasters. I'm pretty sure she's ridden it, but a lot of times what we'll go do is we'll go ride it all together, and then we'll go back through, but we'll go through the single rider line because that line is like crazy, you know, usually somewhere in the 10 to 20 minute range, I feel like, is what we wait, which isn't bad at all. And you can get through it. Now, of course, you don't know who you're going to be sitting next to, but that's okay.
Right. If you don't care about sitting with the people you're with, go single rider all day, every day, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, and we, you know, we'll actually wait in the line and ride it all together the first time. So that way then we can go do single rider and not feel bad about it later.
Gotcha.
So that is the Expedition Everest.
If we haven't gushed enough, go on Expedition Everest. It, like Kilimanjaro Safari, it is, you have to do it. You have to do it.
So, and I feel like we should also hit upon, and we're beating the dead horse here, but you have to check. You have to take a moment to just look around you and see how amazing the theming in Asia really is.
Asia is the best. Of all of the places in Animal Kingdom, Asia is the best, I think.
I mean, you're looking up, you're seeing these lights that are strung on wire. You've got the flag, the prayer flags everywhere. The way stuff is painted, what is it? There's like footprints and maybe like some cart prints in the walkway and stuff. I mean, just crazy amounts of detail. You know, even thinking about Expedition Everest, the one thing that I don't like about the single rider line, if I was to knock it for something, is it skips so much of the queue, and that thing has an amazing queue.
They took so much care in making these lands within the Animal Kingdom look so much like what they're supposed to represent. It's like we were talking about last week with the World Showcase. You're there for in that whatever, however many, you know, 50, 60 acre section, however big it is, you're there.
Right. And I feel like what is so easy to do, and I say it's so easy to do because I do it all the time, it is so easy to just run past everything because you're trying to hit those attractions, you're trying to make it a half-day park, you know you've got another park you want to go to or whatever, and to just miss the amazing job that's been done there when it comes to this theming standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would be my only hesitation in calling it a half-day park, is that it can be a full day park, like we've been saying, if you will just take the time to walk slowly and look around and keep your phone in your pocket and put your camera down for just a second and just look and take it in and really just observe what's been done. It's amazing.
Yeah. And just appreciate what's been done there, and you can definitely walk away with a much better, appreciation,
right,
for what the Imagineers went and did here. So,
yep.
So they also have Collie River Rapids, which I've ridden one time.
I've never done that. I'm not a huge fan of getting wet when I'm going to have to walk around, especially when it's hot.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I've only done it one time. It's because I did it one time so I could know what it was, and it was a river ride, you know, rapids attraction, and then I was wet and then I was done with it. So I, you know what, there could be some really cool stuff there, but I don't remember. I just remember thinking, okay, this is a river rapids attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wet. So
fun fact, the first attraction of that kind was at Six Flags Astroworld in Houston, where I'm from. So a little bit of local pride there.
There you go.
And then there's the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which I have also never done, but, you know, just like we've been talking about before, it's... Have you done it? Sorry.
No, I have not done it. Yeah, that's why I didn't, like, jump in on you there and go, well,
great. It's super good.
No, this is another one of those things, you know, again, recording this podcast just tells me more and more that I really need to spend some more time in some of these parks doing some of these things that are there, and it's just so easy to run past.
Dude, it's telling me that I need to move to Orlando, and I need to get a full-time job at Walt Disney World, and I just need to work there forever and have the best life in the world.
And I'm all for that, because then you have your blue pass, and you can let people in the parks for free so many times per year. And I will definitely come down and visit. So,
Nothing wrong with a little selfishness among friends.
That's right. So, okay. So we didn't. Neither one of us has hit Maharaja Jungle Trek.
But I'm sure it's beautiful.
And you know, one thing this one isn't that I was trying to skip it, but just the timing never worked out for me, or hasn't yet. I must say hasn't yet, because I am going to make it work eventually, is the Flights of Wonder show over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never done that either, but when you're walking by it, you can see all the birds and you can hear them in there, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they do have the Flights of Wonder show. Again, that is something, though, that is done at certain times. So you do have to make sure that you can make it work you need to schedule that in to your day.
Yeah, for sure. And then eating, pretty much there's Mr. Kamal's and then Yak and Yeti, which the theme of the show, I've never done it, so I don't know anything about any of the eating places in Asia.
Nope, me neither.
All right, well, I'm sure they're delicious. Moving on.
we can read from the website to you guys if you would prefer, but I think you guys would rather we just move on and only talk about things that we actually know about.
Yeah, and I got in trouble for reading Wikipedia a couple episodes back, so I'm going to say no to that. So Dinoland USA is the next stop, in the last stop, actually.
Dinoland USA, sponsored by McDonald's, except not anymore.
Yeah, oh my gosh, don't get me started on sponsorships. It's so crazy.
Hey, I will tell you the best thing about the sponsorship for McDonald's of Dinoland USA was the exit to dinosaur, because they had these little posters that were all set up, and they were, you know, basically they were to draw your attention back to the fact that McDonald's did pay for some of this, but they were like so well done. And what's bad is I can't even remember, but I mean, they were all like different little jokes. Where dinosaurs are like eating people, you know, in a very simply animated, so not at all gory or scary way, but just very funny jokes about McDonald's in
prehistoric times.
Yeah, there you go. Prehistoric times. Thank you. No problem. My brain stopped there for a second. I appreciate that.
Been there, done that, man.
But yeah, so they had these really cool little posters, and dude, if I could get one of those posters and hang it up on my wall, I would have, because they were that well done. Mm. You know, and you could get McDonald's French fries in Dinoland USA. So it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, you're speaking my language there. So dinosaur didn't go on it. Came home after our honeymoon and started doing research on the things we didn't go on, and immediately regretted not going on that ride.
And you should regret not going on that ride, because it is a good dark attraction. It's very similar to Indiana Jones over in Disneyland.
Oh man, now I regret it even more. I'd never heard that before, but Indiana Jones in Disneyland is
bomb.com. Okay, but it's very similar in ride vehicle.
Oh.
I think Indiana Jones is definitely the better show. But it does have a similar ride vehicle. The issue that I have with that attraction is it will throw you all around the vehicle.
Really? I thought it was a boat. Is it not a water ride?
It is not a water ride. Okay, so
I'll just take that out of the show so I don't sound like a total idiot.
Oh, come on, man. I think that totally needs to stay in.
I definitely thought it was a boat.
No, it is not a boat. So Jeremy would have had a lot of fun when he got to the end of the queue and went, oh, look, it's a boat, but I don't know. So just like Indiana Jones, if you remember, you've got like that Jeep and it's like three across that sit in it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's the same ride vehicle for Dinosaur, and they've got extra suspension to throw you back and forth so that you can feel the, the urgency of, basically, if I recall correctly, the idea or the story behind the ride is that you've been sent back in the past. You're trying to pick up the dinosaur, whatever its name was, from the movie Dinosaur, and bring it back.
Right.
And you're finding yourself there like right before the meteor hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that thus a sense of urgency, and there's pterodactyls and a T-Rex and all these different things. But, you know, and I've done it more than once, but it's not on the top of my list because I have done it already. And it leaves me with a like crick in my neck. Mm. So that's the only downside of that attraction that I will throw out there is just be ready. You're going to get thrown around a little bit.
And it's not a boat.
And it is not a boat.
Also, fun fact, that's the ride that last year a gun fell out of a guy's, you know, pocket or whatever, and they discovered a gun on that ride. So you might even get a free gun.
Well, better they found it there than, you know, other options. So that's what we'll say about that. So they've also got Finding Nemo the musical.
Yes,
over there in because Nemo is such a dinosaur it fits so well into Dinoland.
Right.
Sorry, Disney, I'm going to knock you for that, but it is in Dinoland as far as the map is concerned. As far as when you're in the park, you're not going to it doesn't feel like you're in Dinoland.
Right.
Basically, you walk from Asia past the big, huge theater they have for the musical, and then on further, and then you finally get to Dino Land. Yeah. So regardless of what the map says, that's not really the way it's set up. Yeah. And I really, really like that musical.
Well, it's good. Yeah, it's great. It's very clever in how they do the characters and the props and stuff like that. Costuming, I guess it would be. Also, it's very, very clever.
Yeah, where they're actually they hold the character, the performers hold characters next to them, and basically they're kind of like puppets.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you sit there for long enough, you can almost forget the performer's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when the performer's doing a good job,
mm-hmm. It's really easy to stop seeing the person holding the character for sure.
Yeah. So, and it's a funny show. It is pretty much Finding Nemo. But I don't know. It's a good show. I like it. I suggest that you definitely go and do
that. It's Finding Nemo, but with like 10% cheesier songs. Which is not a bad thing.
I don't think I'm going to find myself buying that soundtrack personally, but, you know, like I said, it's a good show.
It is, yeah. So they also, Primeval Whirl is there, which I didn't go on, but... it's one of those, I don't even know how to describe the kind of coaster it is.
It's a coaster and I have been on it, and it is a lot of fun. It's a very simple coaster, a very small coaster, but the trick to it is that once you have left the loading and unloading area, the track actually, your ride vehicle rides on the track, and the ride vehicle is allowed to swing around.
Right, it spins independently of the ride.
Exactly. It spins independently of the track.
Yeah.
So your ride vehicle, and so it does a lot of back and forth, you know, quick swing to get that ride vehicle really moving,
mm-hmm.
And spinning around, which it's a really fun little thing and doesn't tend to typically be real long waits or anything like that for it. So
it's a 0-minute wait right now.
Well, there you go. So you could be, if we were in Animal Kingdom instead of recording a podcast, we could be jumping on to Primeval Whirl right now. But, yes, so I've done that.
It's kind of like riding a roller coaster in a teacup.
Yes, yes, that's definitely a good description. So if you like that idea, great. If you think that idea is going to make you vomit, please do not ride Primeval Whirl.
Right, try to avoid Primeval Whirl. And also the track does not bank.
Right,
so
yes.
The turns don't bank. It's hard. Hard turns, hard 180-degree turns.
Well, and I say hard turns, but they don't feel hard, again, because your ride vehicle kind of makes up for those hard turns by moving you around and spinning you. And that's what they're there for, is to make you spin more.
Right.
So you've got that. Then you've got, Triceratops Spin, which I skipped out on Dumbo with a Triceratops on it.
Yeah.
Because that's what Triceratops Spin looks like to me.
And Dinoland USA is... not fully, but mostly geared towards kids. For the most part, I mean, the Boneyard is it's a place where you can. It's like a playground. You can let your kid go play, and they've got chairs for adults to sit in and relax. And it's mostly a place for people with young children to go and kind of enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and since Jeremy and I are those weirdos who love Disney but don't have kids, those are the kind of places that we tend to stay away
from.
But not in a creepy way. Weird looks. No, that's the reason why I stay away from that, because, you know, that just it looks odd, you know,
yeah.
to be over there without a small child. Yeah.
It's hard to say the not in a creepy way type thing when you're over in a kids area. With no kids. Okay, I'm going to get us off of that topic.
I was about to say, how long are we going to ride that?
That's Animal Kingdom. It's a good park. It's a nice park, but I've always considered it to be a half-day park. But that does not diminish its fun factor. I mean, Kilimanjaro Safari and Expedition Everest are two things that you would be so unfortunate to miss.
Yes, so and I would... And I'll throw on Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Just because, like I said, I really enjoyed that show. Then probably underneath that, Festival of the Lion King. If it's open when you're over there, I think that's worth hitting. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't take any time at all for this to turn into a half day park, and probably, I don't know, after looking at it, I think next time I might try to make it a full day park.
Hey, we may have turned Brad around yet.
We'll see. We'll see.
And on that bombshell, that'll do it for this week's episode. Be sure again to follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. On Facebook, give us a like. We're missing the mouse. And visit us at our website, www.missingthemouse.co. And that'll do it. So we'll see you next week, where we're going to talk about the Magic Kingdom.
Wait. Not next week. We'll see you for the next probably 2 to 3 months.
Yeah. While we talk about the Magic Kingdom, which, yeah, is going to take a while. So I hope you like hearing us talk about stuff, because it's going to be a lot of talking. Have a magical day.